The following content is rated explicit for language in adult situations.
So listen with headphones.
Or don't. We don't judge.
Have you ever wished that your world had more magic?
Or that your favorite character had survived?
How about a full-length spin-off of your favorite childhood series?
Then do we have a podcast for you?
Hello, Fire Whiskers. I'm Claire.
And I'm Kat.
And this is Fire Whiskey and Honey, the podcast about your favorite novel-length Potter fan fiction.
The Debt of Time.
Each episode, we read a chapter of this story.
And try to stay on topic.
Which is easier said than done.
Without further ado, here's this week's chapter of The Debt of Time.
Good eye, mate. Bringing it down under this week. Cracky. And that's about much of a terrible Australian accent as I can do. Speaking of Australians, I have been very good this pregnancy. I've not really had a lot of cravings. I had one really bad for mango, and I couldn't find any mangoes that looked good, so I got mango mochi, and I got mango yogurt, and they were both delicious, and it totally satisfied my craving. And then I had that really bad craving for the chocolate seashells with the praline. It's praline. I'm saying praline. I'm sure there's a better way to pronounce it overseas, but I'm saying praline. Anyway, with the praline filling, which, by the way, one of our British listeners was like, because I sent her a picture. I was like, I found it on Amazon. It was like $15 or something like that. She's like, $15? Hell no. It's like 4 pounds a box here. I'll send you some. And I'm sitting here. I'm like, with the shipping, I feel like that's going to be more expensive. But she insists. So I should be getting those from the UK, which would totally make my pregnant ass very, very happy. But speaking of international treats that I require, which one of my Australian friends can I pay to send me like 3 boxes of Tim Tams? Because I need them and I cannot find them.
Do you have a World Market? I can get Tim Tams at World Market.
I don't know where the nearest World Market is, but
they
ship. Ooh. Okay, never mind Aussies. You're off the hook. So I also, there was a chance I wasn't going to get the Tim Tams until he arrived anyway. But like, I want to do a Tim Tam slam so bad.
I will tell you, I've had Australian Tim Tams, and I've had the ones that are here, and the ones from Australia are definitely
so
better.
Much better.
But in a crunch.
See what you did there.
I couldn't get the slam to work when I had them. It didn't
Tiny
work.
Nibbles. Tiny nibbles.
Like, I did. When I asked, somebody told me to do it tidy, and I tried, and it still didn't work. There goes my honorary Australian bag.
Annabeth didn't appreciate my sound effects of making a Tim Tam slam. And what you all missed was the fact that I looked like a little squirrel holding it up to my mouth and just going.
Yeah, for reference, check out that Friends episode where Joey wants to get back together with that blonde chick and makes Monica go out on the date with him and she's eating the chicken wing. She's like. That's what she sounds like. It looks like. Just like
that.
That
fucking kills me. Wait. Anyway. Jesus Christ.
Wait, episode when Joey makes Monica do what?
He takes
go
her on
a date.
Date
with him because he wants to go out with the blonde-haired chick that he dumped, but she has a boyfriend, so he convinces Monica that it's the girl's brother, and he's setting her up.
Yes, and then they're both trying to split the couple up.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. I needed enough to make notes so I knew what the hell to write.
Oh yeah, right, huh.
First step.
Yeah, we're still probably, by the time this airs, still trying to update the fucking website. That's what I'm going to do on maternity leave when my child sleeps. I'm just going to sit here, I'm going to pump, and I'm going to update the website because it takes me forever.
You're supposed to sleep when the baby sleeps is what I hear, so how are you going to be able to do that?
Well, yeah, but the baby's going to sleep like 14 hours a day. I don't need to do that. Everybody who has a child is laughing at me because I think I'm going to be able to do anything other than take care of a child after he arrives. But even the people who have not had children, like Kat, are nodding their heads at me. But I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm just sitting here like, you think you're going to be able to do this stuff? You think you can do these things, Nemo, but you cannot.
Yes, but I won't be the only stay-at-home parent, which will help. But It's much easier to find a partner.
Very true.
I really want to make you listen to early seasons where you talk about predictions of you being a parent while you're on maternity leave, just to see how, so you can laugh at your past self.
I feel like I said things.
Oh, so many. They're so great. so many.
And as you all know, Kat, I was going to say retired, graduated. Kat retired from college.
I wish I retired.
Kat retired from college. She has retired from being a student after 27,000 years. And she has decided... I broke her.
27,000.
Okay. You have literally been in school in some form or another since the day I met you. Because we met during pre-K2. And this is now the first time that you and I are seeing each other face to face, where you are not actively a student.
Yeah, I feel like this is like SpongeBob. 2 years later.
It's literally 27 years. In 27 years, I have only known you as a student. I don't know how to not know you as a student. It's weird.
Yeah, I'm going to be... I actually, a couple weeks ago, I had this conversation with Audrey. I'm like, you remember that episode of Friends where Rachel gets her paycheck? And she's like, who's FICA? Why is he taking all my money? That's going to be me. I'm going to be like, Claire, why is this people taking all my money? Yeah,
I love when people get super excited and they're like, I'm going to make $50,000 a year. And I'm going to spend it on this and that and this and that. And I'm like, you realize that's like $38,000 take home. And they were like... What? And I'm like, well, you know, there's taxes, there's your 401k, there's a lot of, $20,000 of my paycheck goes to taxes in my 401k. And they were like, what? I was like, welcome to adulthood, it sucks. Oh, and don't forget the stuff you do take home, 50% of it should be going towards all of your living expenses, so, I'm fine. And if I keep saving the way I've been saving, which is kind of a lot for somebody my age, I'm going to be able to retire when I turn 78.
Ew.
And the Oscar for biggest blubber baby goes to...
Rude. I haven't had any of the, like, uncontrollable... I've had, like, minor crying jags, but none of the super emotional ones yet, but...
Okay.
Babe. Speaking of lots of emotions, Kat was feeling a lot of emotions last week because we met her idol.
I know.
Was it amazing?
It was amazing, and I controlled myself and I appropriately fangirled and it was fine.
You did. I think you ruined the end of West Wing for him, but it's fine.
Well, actually, when I told him I saw the tweet about how he doesn't like Danny and he was like, he's so mean to CJ, I was like, well, you don't know what happens at the end of the series, do you, bro? Because you're not going to like them very much because they get married and have a baby.
And now she's ruined it for all the rest of you as well. No, I'm kidding.
Whatever, that show enough. Was on when we were kids.
It's old enough that you're past the point of being mad about spoilers. But there is a certain...
Fantastic show, like...
Yeah, I need to watch it again, because I, like...
And, like, for someone like me who doesn't like politics, I enjoyed the crap out of it. I've watched it 3 times all the way through. Like, it's a good show.
But anyway, but yes.
All I'm saying is Martin Sheen makes a fantastic president.
He does.
And yes, that is the Rizzo from Grease. That is his wife.
Anyway... What had happened was...
So, James got to be head boy. And Lily got to be head girl. Yes, that's what happened. Yes. Okay, so that was hilarious because everybody's like, you got what, James? Like, really? So, that was lovely. So, he got that, and everybody was giving him crap about it and all of that, and Lily being her perfect self, like, obviously takes that job kind of seriously. And then they were back at school, and some of them were causing, like, I can't believe I'm saying mischief, but for some reason I got Macaulay Culkin on the mind, and I have to say mischief.
That's Marauder. Mischief managed. That's Marauder.
It's on brand.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like I'm like 85 years old because when we were away, we were talking about how we don't understand those girls that wear the crop top sweaters and long sleeve shirts when you're still cold because your stomach shows. And the Dark Wizard was like, wow, I sound like my dad. Like, I'm literally critiquing young girls' fashion that I don't understand. Wow, when did I get this old? But it's true. It's like, why would you wear a crop top long sleeve when your stomach is still showing and it's, like, freezing outside? Like, what is the point of that? And cropped puffer jackets? What is that about? Anyways, that has nothing to do with
big feelings.
I have big feelings about that. Like, it's stupid. Anyways.
High-waisted pants.
Yes, those
two. No, I'm just saying, high-waisted pants with the crop top sweatshirt.
That's, yes. Excellent. So everything's covered. Also, I will say, I can always tell when I'm getting old, because when I watch The Little Mermaid, and she's like, I'm not a child, Daddy. I'm like, yes, you fucking are. And then I was like, oh,
you're 16, sit down. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. What had happened?
Yeah, so they were causing mischief, and James gave them detention, and they were like, really? Really? He's like, I'm just following the rules,
well,
man.
Why did they get detention?
I forget. Oh, they're punching people.
Punching who?
Draco. No, wait, he doesn't exist.
Who did she love Draco?
Snape.
Yes.
Snape.
Yeah, punching Snape.
Dumbledore. God damn it.
Oh my god. Okay, so that was that, and they were like, yeah, I don't like that you're giving me detention. Like, and he's just like, well, I gotta follow the rules and all that jazz. And then there was the moment towards the end that everybody got all Google about, because James and Lily finally kissed.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
Oh, and there was something about patrol routes.
Yes, that was why they kissed. He came up with a schedule with patrol routes that included Maya and Snape's detentions, as well as everybody's Quidditch tryouts. And that was why she was like, oh my god.
And it was color-coded.
It was color-coded. I forgot that was the part that really turned Hannah Beth on.
I'm a slut for spreadsheets, what can I say?
Lady in the streets. Freak in the spreadsheets.
Accurate.
All right.
That should be on a t-shirt.
It is. I haven't bought it yet, but I really want to. That's where I got it from.
Oh my god, I want it.
Yeah, no, I think I found it on Etsy, but I need it. Anyway, we have an author's note this week. And Shia says, I am so happy that everyone enjoyed the last chapter. Building up James and Lily progressively and realistically was one of my biggest goals for part two. I wanted it to be believable, and from your reactions, I'm guessing that it was, which just thrills me. I also love that many of you caught the parallel at the end between James and Lily's first kiss and Harry and Ginny's first kiss. Have I mentioned I love parallels and history repeating itself? It does a lot in my story. I doubt I'll ever stop. Speaking of which, we did get Shia's notes on our Shubes episode, and she loved that he had picked up on that. She also loved that he hates Snape. And she also did want to make it very clear that Snape's eyes canonically are in fact black, and she was not just being extra.
Because she definitely does that at times.
Shia? Extra? No. Yes, she is. But we love her. But are you ready, Kat, to continue on to the actual start of year 7 for our Marauders?
I've been ready for like 45 minutes.
She's not wrong. We've literally been recording for 45 minutes. Actually, we've been recording just shy of an hour, but...
Y'all's blooper reel is going to be fun stuff.
Well, most of that was business for the new intro and some others. Like, it wasn't like we were just dicking around for 40 minutes.
And also, Kat disappeared for, true, like 15. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, for those of you who have probably noticed, we have a new intro, which is very exciting. Mainly because the, which I try to remember from week to week, was no longer accurate for Kat, because she does remember from week to week. She takes notes. She's fantastic at it. But we decided to record a new intro, And I went to go do my part. And so I say my line and I look at Kat waiting for her to do her line. She just has like this expectant look on her face. And I was like, okay. Okay, read. Okay, say something. And then finally Hannah Beth is like, oh, wait, I think she froze. And I was like, oh, okay. I thought she was fucking with me. So yes, we lost Kat. And Kat's just like, no, I wouldn't do that. I don't run jokes that long. I don't have that kind of...
Yeah, because you froze with your mouth open and sometimes you freeze and Hannah Beth doesn't. And I was like, yo, what's going on? And Hannah Beth didn't move either. And I'm like, uh-oh.
I feel like I always freeze with derp faces on, whereas Kat just kind of looked very contemplative and like normal. And I'm usually like, meh.
To be fair, most of the time you're actively reading when you freeze. So you're saying things. But yes, the faces are always delightful. We need to screenshot them more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Please don't.
Yeah, I like how we got a reminder of the GIFs over the weekend. Yeah. I was like, I can't find the OMG GIF. And I was like, yay! I love the GIFs.
They're my favorite.
I made it. I'm a GIF. That's how you know when you made it, when somebody makes you a GIF.
Somebody GIFs you. The GIF that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
I use Claire's eyebrow reaction. So when Kat went, oh my god, all it was Claire's singular eyebrow, like, girl, you got no idea. That is my favorite.
I like that I can make faces at Hannah Beth and the audience who have read The Dead of Time before, and everybody knows what's happening. And Kat's like, did I miss something? What's happening? What's going on? And we're all just like, nothing.
Yeah, well, I thought I was onto something when we were with Shubes, and I was like, the little witch is Tonks. And you're like, what house is she in? And I'm like, I thought I had it too.
Yes, you were close.
That's still bothering me, by the way.
That you didn't remember Tonks' house while you were wearing a Hufflepuff shirt?
That I didn't know why she called Hermione Pack before any of this happened, and that's still bothering me.
It's a good thing you're in for the long haul.
Yep. Anyway.
Yeah, well, if I was allowed to be, like, not 6 feet apart from people when I was at Harry Potter World, I would be like, hey! Anybody read this? Come tell me things. Oh, by the way, if any of our listeners or anybody knows anybody who's been to the Islands of Adventure side of Universal, if you found any of our business cards, please let us know. They were strategically placed in places.
Yes. Alrighty. Chapter 71. In Love. September 3rd, 1977. Maya snuggled into the warm chest beneath her. A sleepy grin crossing her face as she felt long arms wrap around her body. She thought that James's farewell party had gone perfectly on their first night back to Hogwarts, starting with Lily kissing her brother in the middle of the Gryffindor common room. Maya's heart had swelled at the sight of the head of black messy hair attached to the long auburn locks. It reminded her of Harry and Ginny's first kiss in the very same spot. Sirius and Remus had eagerly stepped forward to tease the pair, but Maya stood firmly in their way, allowing her brother and the love of his life a quick escape. James and Lily did not surface for breakfast, so when they turned up in charms in class holding hands, it was the perfect opportunity for the entire male population of Gryffindor House to whistle and hoot at them, and gain a unified "aww" from the witches. James never looked so happy, and Lily looked like a brand new witch, cleansed of all the sadness that came from ending her friendship with Snape, the memories of being treated poorly because of her blood status, and thoughts of her home life and scornful sister. Somehow, this new love was fixing them both and, by extension, had offered healing to those in their tight-knit circle of friends and family. Lily, and therefore James, insisted they had head boy and girl business to attend to Friday night. Despite the couple not even being there for it, Sirius insisted on throwing yet another party to celebrate the fact that, though it had taken him 6 years to do it, James had finally won over his witch. The Gryffindor celebrated well into the early morning, and Maya had fallen asleep on the sofa, using a hard body as a pillow. For the first time in a long while, her dreams of memories past were not nightmares. Hermione slowly opened her eyes and found herself in a large bed that smelled like cats. She looked around and noticed she was inside the tent they had used during the Quidditch World Cup. It was the same tent she packed when they had decided to go on the run in search of Horcruxes. But why was she in it? Weren't they staying at Grimmauld Place? Hermione tried to remember what happened and how she'd gotten there. She remembered going to the Ministry, finding the locket with Ron and Harry, catching sight of Sirius as Death Eaters and Ministry officials chased them, and then... And then... She tried to sit up, wincing, when she felt a distinct skin-pinching sensation on her back. She let out a hiss of pain and felt something shift beside her. Turning slowly to prevent more pinching, she looked down into the pale gray eyes of Padfoot, who whimpered next to her. Hermione frowned and tried to turn and face Padfoot completely to assure him that she was fine, only to realize she was not wearing a blouse. Her eyes widened, and she turned back over and groaned.
"Sirius, where is my top? Why are you in bed with me? What happened? Where are Harry and Ron?"
The questions tumbled from her mouth as she fought through the strange, completely unfair, or unfamiliar, unfair, yes, but unfamiliar pain in her back, a tightness as though her skin was being stretched. Padfoot moved on the bed behind her, and suddenly a human hand pressed against her bare back. She flinched away from it.
"Calm down, kitten. I'm just checking the wound."
Hermione blanched.
"Wound?
You don't remember. You got splinched trying to get away from the Ministry. Tore your back open pretty bad. I tried to heal it as best I could, but I wasn't ever the one to take care of Remus post-full moon. All we had on us was Dittany. There's going to be a scar."
"Is it ugly?"
Hermione asked, with tears in her eyes, upset over how vain she felt.
"Nothing about you could," Sirius began with a catch in his throat. "It looks all right. I've seen a similar one before. It'll heal up nicely. You've lost a lot of blood, though, so you need as much rest as possible. We ran out of blood replenishing potion."
"And, my shirt?" she timidly asked.
"Oh, you probably shouldn't be lifting your arms much. I can keep you covered, and I'll leave and sit outside if you need," he offered,
sounding nervous. The change in tone was almost amusing to Hermione. She, of all people in the world, had apparently made Sirius Black nervous.
"Just, don't let Harry or Ron see me like this."
She rested for days. Eventually her back healed well enough to be bandaged and dressed, but still Hermione slept because Sirius told her to. While Padfoot dozed soundly beside her, she would sit up and read, research, and think about where the next Horcrux could be. Sirius would wake and feed her, check her wound, and tell her that the scar was not ugly, once even comparing it to a beautiful river that spread its way down the back of her shoulder. Hermione had blushed at the compliment and graciously accepted the little food he was able to bring her. It was strangely domestic and comfortable, especially considering they were in the middle of a war. Maya dreamt of the past and of an older Sirius. She could almost still feel him beside her as she slowly began to wake. If she concentrated hard enough, she could hear his husky voice speak.
"Hey! Oh, Jesus! In the very beginning of this, if I remember correctly, there was something about her saying she wanted to break into the freaking Ministry, and I swear Tonks was there, and wasn't that before all of this happened, too?"
"Yeah."
"And that..." "Fuck!"
"Okay." "Ah!" Words. Less screeching. I don't speak dinosaur. Okay, so, yes. Hermione went to Tonks and wanted to break into the Ministry to pull Sirius back through the veil. And that's what they did.
Right.
And then they brought Sirius back to Grimmauld Place at what was within the books and the movies at the end of movie 6 before movie 7.
They brought Sirius back to the den, just as a side.
No, sorry. The den. Sorry, not Grimmauld Place. But anyway. So Dumbledore dies. She looks for stuff to try and bring him back. She figures out a way to bring Sirius back. They break into the Ministry. They pull Sirius back through the veil. They bring him back to the den. So
yeah.
What are you connecting?
I just remembered that that happened. And then that's how she got hurt with what you just read. So now I'm even more confused.
So she got splinched when they broke into the ministry the second time when they were on the Horcrux hunt. So they brought him back over the summer, right? And then they have Florin Bill's wedding. Charlie's my favorite. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Anyway, so they have Florin Bill's wedding. The Death Eaters crash. They go on the Horcrux hunt. They go to Grimald Place. They break into the ministry to try and get the locket back, right? And in the seventh movie, you remember they ran away, but somebody like grabbed her as she was apparating to the house. So she had to shake him off and then apparate again. This time in the Dead of Time, when she did that, she splinched herself, not Ron. And that's when she got the split from her shoulder down her back.
Yeah. And wasn't there a part at the beginning of this where it was like, what, the first time they broke in and what's his face was in his dog form and she was trying to take care of him or something like that?
No. He was taking care of her. Yeah, that's what this flashback was to. After she got splinched, Sirius took care of her while they were in the tent.
Yeah, but in the very beginning when we first started this, wasn't there another thing that was kind of similar, but he was in his form?
She did take care of Remus after the full moon, if that's what you're referring to.
No, I swear to God that there was another one where they were in a tent, too, and it seemed like it was like the same type of thing, but different person.
No, Sirius took care of her, not the other way around. Did Sirius get splinched at one point?
I don't know, ask Hannah Beth, not me.
Shia!
I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I think she was the one who got hurt.
Okay, then I guess I just made that up in my head then, because I swear that...
I mean, she took care of Sirius when they were teenagers in the Marauder area when she became Maya.
Yeah, she did take care, but he wasn't in his dog form, though.
Mm-mm.
Okay, never mind.
No worries. I got really excited. There was a hint that I was hoping you'd pick up in the flashback, but you did not.
No, but I did it, but I just remembered that Tonks was there the first time, too, so now I'm just like, jeez. I thought I had something, but apparently I did not. And no, I did not pick up on it, obviously. I can hear the screams from here. Don't at me.
Maya dreamt of the past and of an older Sirius. She could almost still feel him beside her as she slowly began to wake. If she concentrated hard enough, she could hear his husky voice speaking to her, see him looking at her in such a way that made her feel as though she were melting from the inside out. He had the confidence that a younger Sirius had, but was refined and almost controlled. He'd faced his issues while the younger Sirius was still bearing the heavy weight of guilt with which his family had burdened him. Younger Sirius feared the bond. Older Sirius embraced it. You knew this whole time?
About the bond?
She had blushed at him and he had smiled.
One day, you won't do that anymore.
Do what? Hermione asked quietly, as Sirius made his way to the tent door.
Be embarrassed about how I make you feel.
She was not embarrassed, not anymore. Maya breathed in deep and smelled him. Sirius, she moaned, as she breathed in the scent, parchment, and grass, and chocolate. Fuck. You know what else smells really good, Kat?
Star-crossed sundries, candles, and wax melts.
You betcha! And guess what's going on special today, April 9th through May 9th?
Star-crossed sundries, candles, and wax melts.
You betcha! And we actually get to add to the candles and the wax melts because they are going live with their sudsy soaps. With that being said, Starcross Sundries is going to be running a special from April 9th to May 9th, and if you type in the code SUDS and Slytherins, and is spelled out SUDS, spelled S-U-D-S, SUDS and Slytherins, if you go ahead and type that code in, it's going to give you 15% off of your order. We are so excited that they have branched into the realm of soaps, so not only do you get to burn the candles and melt the wax melts that make your house smell wonderful, you can smell wonderful no matter where you go because you will be doused in the scents of Starcross Sundries.
And it's perfect timing because we all need to wash our hands.
It's also starting to get warm, which means you need to shower more often and you want to smell good and not like BO, so we highly recommend that you invest in Starcross Sundry soaps and then fill your house with the smell of candles and wax melts.
Yep, and I've been using my sample soaps and my hands smell amazing, and the one sample that I have has my hands have a little glitter on it, and it makes me happy.
They're so good. Also, not only are they launching the soaps, but also there's a Slytherin line launching at the same time. And I've had the samples and of the previews, and oh my god, they're so good.
Narcissa is my favorite. I love her.
Yeah, they're excellent.
And one more time, that special code is Suds and Slytherins. Suds, S-U-D-S, the word and spelled out, Slytherins, and that'll give you 15% off your Starcross Sundries order.
Woo-cha!
I like that that's just our thing now. It makes me happy.
Anyway, the dead of time. So, Maya was laying on a hard body. She says, Sirius, and breathes in parchment grass and chocolate. Fuck. Her eyes opened wide in embarrassed horror, hoping to Merlin she had not actually spoken aloud, though she knew she had. She leaned upward against the chest she was sleeping against to come face to face with, not gray, but green eyes, looking down at her curiously. Remus slowly raised a questioning brow as Maya held her breath and swallowed hard.
I think it's time we talked.
She sat up quickly. Okay, like, talk about, like, the most fucking stressful thing a man can say. Like, it's already horrifying enough that you said the wrong name, and his first thing he says is, it's time we talked. Never say it's time to talk. We should talk. I think we need to talk. Never say anything about talking. It's stressful. Or if it's literally just like something that's not stressful, say, hey, we need to talk because I want to do this. And then it's like, oh, okay, that's not stressful. If you say we need to talk, my first assumption is you're about to dump my ass. So like, every time my husband...
And that has been relationship rants with Claire.
Every time my husband's like, we need to talk, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to ask for a divorce. And he's like, what? No, I wanted to see what you wanted to do for dinner. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's way less stressful. Actually, no, I mean, it's still stressful. But like, also high living with
anxiety. Yeah, because we can't make up our mind what we want to eat worth a crap.
So. No, we cannot. Also high, I have anxiety. Could you tell? Anyway.
See, that's why I like that one thing I think I saw on Instagram once where the guy's like, I am so sick of my girlfriend not knowing where to eat. And he took the spinner from... the game, and he put the food choices, and he's like, spin this, whatever it lands on, you're eating.
Have you heard the trick where you say, guess where we're going for dinner, and then you take them to the first place that they guess?
Genius.
Right?
She sat up quickly, her heart pounding in her chest. How could she have done that? It wasn't her fault that she had dreamt of another man, especially when it was really more memory than dream. But she had sunk into the feel of the memories, yearning to relive them, yearned for him, for Sirius. And she had apparently been stupid enough to say his bloody name while sleeping on top of her boyfriend. Remus, I am so sorry. He held up a hand and sat up straight. She watched carefully, biting her lower lip as he rubbed his face with his hands, elbows resting on his knee. While Remus sat in silence, Maya looked around the common room and noticed that several blankets had been tossed casually over armchairs and sofas where other seventh-year Gryffindors slept soundly. They clearly had not been the only ones to fall asleep outside of their dorms, but, so far, they were the only ones awake.
"Let's go for a walk," he said,
standing up and holding his hand out to her. She stared at his palm for several seconds, her gaze lingering on the small scar that crossed over his wrist from the first moon after their mothers died. Mooney had been difficult to control, and it had taken both Padfoot and Prongs to secure the werewolf behind the wards erected in Potter Manor's orchards. Remus bore the scar from a fox bite Mooney had received when he had attempted to attack Padfoot in a rage. Thankfully, the following moon had come with an entire week of strictly enforced schedule of wolfsbane potion, as well as strengthened wards. After grabbing their winter cloaks, the pair left Gryffindor Tower and made their way towards the Black Lake, where Remus transfigured his house scarf into a blanket.
The couple sat down together, looking out over the water as the sunrise reflected off of it.
"I need you to be honest with me," Remus broke the silence, his eyes pleading. "I have several questions I'd like answered, so I can try and come out of this with some dignity intact."
Okay, that breaks my heart. Like, poor baby. I love him.
Please, don't take offense or think that I don't trust you, but I just need verbal confirmation.
Maya felt her chest tighten as she nodded. "I understand."
"Have you been with Sirius since we started courting exclusively?"
Maya gasped loudly, surprised by the question despite his lead-up. "No, I've only been with you. I would never..."
"I know, I know."
Remus let out a long sigh of relief.
"I just needed to hear it, I guess."
He ran a hand through his hair and frowned.
"When you're with me, do you think about him?"
"Merlin, no," Maya answered almost immediately. She recalled a few times, years earlier, that she had compared their kissing, and she had even gone into slight detail with Lily over what it was like to be with each of them. But never once had she thought about Sirius while she was with Remus.
"Do you wish I were him?"
She frowned and reached over to kiss him chastely, trying desperately to get him to understand her. "No, Remus. You're perfect, and I love you."
"I love you too, and we've always known that," Remus said, returning her kiss, closing his eyes and pressing his forehead against hers before speaking again. "But you dream about him."
"Sometimes," Maya whispered sadly.
"You dream about..."
He started to say, but then hesitated a moment.
"You dream about when you were with him."
"Sometimes," Maya sighed, knowing that Remus could not understand that it was not the Sirius he knew that she dreamt of. "I don't do it on purpose, and there doesn't seem to be a trigger of any kind. It's more future him."
"You see Sirius in your future?"
"Of course I do. You're there as well. We've known about this for years. You have a mate out there somewhere, and Sirius is..."
"I know," Remus interrupted her. "We've had this conversation before, but we also promised him we'd find out on our own, that we wouldn't let fate trick us into anything we didn't want. And we've been doing that pretty well, I thought, but maybe we've just been avoiding the inevitable."
He took her hand, tugging her up against his side and wrapping his arm around her shoulder. It made her feel safe with him despite the hard conversation they were having. She suspected he did it purposely for this exact reason. After a few moments of silence, Remus kissed the top of her head and whispered into her hair,
"Are we in love?"
"Of course, I love you," Maya replied, pulling back to look deep into his eyes.
"Are you in love with me?"
Remus clarified. When she didn't answer right away, he fell into another series of questions.
"Are we going to end up together? Do you want to marry me, Maya? Do you want children?"
he asked with a resigned tone.
"Because I can't give them to you."
Yeah, well, I can't give you answers because you weren't learned occlumency, so if you knew, you wouldn't be asking me these freaking questions.
How close are we? Oh my god. We've still got a month. Kat, do you have any idea what I just said? Does it make sense to you?
You said we have a month. A month of
and
great. Excellent.
That's why. I love you.
Like, are you trying to tell me that in a month I'm going to find out that he actually knew this whole time or he finally learns occlumency? Probably. But do I know exactly what? No.
It really helps.
I have an emotional range of a teaspoon, people. Do you really think I understand this?
But that's
crap?
So useful,
yes,
for the podcast.
Yes, because you go on a rant every time about occlumency, so clearly you know stuff now.
It makes me happy.
I don't know a dang thing. I just like saying it in random spots where it fits.
I mean, true.
You've said it every episode this season, I think.
Yeah.
Or of season 4.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway.
I am the colorful commentator.
You are.
Emphasis on the colorful.
I'm the person in the horror movie that's like, maybe we should go see what that noise is. And the audience is like, no, don't go in there. What are you doing, you idiot?
I actually just saw like a string of tweets about this. And this girl was like, I just realized I'm the white girl in every horror film. My husband and I went to go look at a house. And we pull up and it's kind of raining. And my husband's like, that's a creepy ass looking house. And I'm like, no, it's got character. And then we walk around the house. And my husband's like, what the fuck is that? And the realtor's like, oh, that's an AC vent. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. And my husband's like, why does it look like fucking bars on a window? And we just kind of like shrugged our shoulders. And then we went down to the basement and there was a door leading somewhere. And it had like 4 padlocks on it. And my husband's like, what the fuck is this for? And they were like, oh, it probably just leads to the outside. So then we go into the backyard. And I was like, oh, see, there's the door to the basement. And he's like, that's not the door. That door has a window. The one with all the padlocks did not. And at that point, I'm realizing that maybe this house is really fucking creepy. But I just want you all to know that if my husband hadn't have been there, I would have been the dumb white woman who bought the haunted house that was full of dead bodies. And I was like, yep. Yeah. She's like, I just got pulled in by, you know, rose bushes and antique wood floors. Every time, man, they're so dangerous. And then somebody apparently commented on it and they're like, did you say there was a porcelain tub? And she goes, see, this is why we can't be trusted to buy houses.
Oh, geez.
So yes, never buy the old haunted houses. Always have somebody to fact check you and be like, that looks sketchy as fuck. I'm also...
And if you do buy the haunted house, invest in some sage.
Lots of sage. Or actually, depending on where you're from in the world, burning juniper and rosemary also work. Also, remember that white sage is a closed practice, but there is Mediterranean sage, which is not. So if you want to burn...
And this has been witchy shit. Yes, well,
the Mediterranean sage is the shit that you use in food. So it's also really fucking cheap and also not endangered. So like you can literally just go to Kroger and buy like a big ass thing of fucking sage, dump it in a bowl and light that bitch on fire. It's way cheaper than trying to buy
not
a smudge
stick. Our listeners know what a Kroger is.
Or a grocery store.
I don't even know grocery what a Kroger store. Is.
Or go to Lowe's and buy a sage plant and just cut off a branch and burn it.
Yeah, but then you gotta wait for it to dry, and if you live in like a moist environment, it takes a really long time for humid. Humid is the word I wanted, not moist. Annabeth's making the face.
And she just offended everybody who hates that word.
I have dried herbs. It sucks. But anyway, the dead of time. Remus is asking if they're gonna end up together, if she wants to marry him, if she wants children, because he can't give them to you. Maya growled, pushing at his chest in irritation. That's rubbish. I've told you for years you can't pass lycanthropy through conception. She thought of little Teddy Lupin, whose hair was bright blue unless she was holding him. Then it turned honey brown. Teddy had always felt like a part of her. She had been attached to the infant from the first moment, which was surprising as Hermione had not ever thought much of children. But Remus's son had been different. It didn't matter what color hair or eyes the boys mimicked. He was precious to her. Maya couldn't imagine a future without the little metamorph magus. And she felt a serious annoyance. Did I say that right? I said it really fast.
Nice!
And she felt a serious annoyance with Remus for unknowingly thinking about preventing the boy's creation.
We're not talking about my lycanthropy, Remus said, interrupting her thoughts. We're talking about our future. Now, answer the question. Are you in love with me?
Hermione was Tonks' surrogate.
Fuck no! What the fuck? No! Tonks was definitely pregnant.
Dang it.
That would be a great fanfic, but no.
Hermione would have had to been pregnant on like the Horcrux hunt. No! I appreciate the effort. The effort is appreciated, but no.
This is really going to bother me.
So frustrating. Sorry, it's my favorite thing to say. Anyway, I don't know. She shook her head. Are you in love with me?
I don't know. I'm terrified of losing you. You're not just my love. You're my best friend, my beta. You're my home, Maya. You're my safe space, and I don't want to lose that.
He sighed sadly, and his jaw tightened.
Frankly, it pisses me off, because I don't think Sirius understands how fucking important you are to me, or to him. I wish he was just another bloke so that I could hex him or punch him in the face and tell him to get away from my witch.
Maya searched his eyes for the hints of gold, but found only green. No Mooney present. He was all Remus.
I can't, though, because he's Sirius, and my friend, and Pack, and I actually understand, on some level, whatever it is that's between you. I need you, but Merlin... Maya, I think Sirius would just die without you, Remus said, without a hint of exaggeration.
She paled at the words, terrified of the implications. What would happen if and when she, Maya, ever disappeared? If the future could not be changed, that meant Sirius would go to Azkaban. If so, where would she be? A part of her began worrying about future Sirius. He had clearly known she was being sent back to the past. Their kiss in the library had practically been a farewell kiss. Was she ever going to see him again? Would he be there, waiting for her, the day after her 19th birthday? Would he, like Remus declared, die without her?
Do you love Sirius?
Maya's throat tightened, and she felt tears stinging her eyes. I don't think I can say it.
Why not?
Because he's not ready to hear it, she explained, and the tears finally spilt over her cheeks. She wiped them away as though they had betrayed her. Had betrayed her emotional resolve. Plus, I'm not ready to see him walk away from me. Not again. He's done it twice now, and I've tried to be strong, but it hurt like hell. I don't think I could handle it a third time. Moments after their first kiss, he had turned her away. Minutes after the first time they made love, he had asked her to leave his room. Besides, if I am in love with Sirius, I feel like the first time I say it should be to him.
Do you really think he'd walk away from you again?
Maya shrugged, honestly. Sirius was a constant conundrum. It was an everlasting battle between his heart and his conscience was lying to him. The night of the concert, when he came into my room drunk, he didn't really know I was there. He kept saying how he knew how he felt about me, and that he didn't want to ruin you and me because we were in love, and he couldn't do that to his friends, and then he went on and on about how he needed to be a good man.
He really needs to get over that issue.
I know. He said he hasn't been with anyone since me. Remus raised a skeptical brow.
Really?
You didn't know?
No, I mean...
He paused, looking deep in thought for a moment or two.
We haven't seen him with anyone, and he hasn't been bragging like he used to, but well, you've heard the way the Ravenclaws gossip. He really said that?
You think he was telling the truth? She hesitantly asked.
What do I think?
Remus sighed, pondering the situation. This had not been his plans for this morning. He had planned on waking up with a witch on his chest, but hearing her moaning another bloke's name and then discussing her relationship with said bloke ad nauseam had not been on Remus's timetable.
I think Sirius is incapable of lying when drunk.
There had been some very awkward nights following a bottle of fire whiskey, when Sirius had let loose knowledge none of them could unhear, including a few confessions, such as how he once had a dream about sharing Maya with Remus, and that, if well plied with fire whiskey, he could probably do it for real. That had earned... Really, Kat? No reaction?
To what?
He had once had a dream about sharing Maya with Remus, and that if well plied with fire whiskey, he could probably do it for real.
That doesn't bother me. I watch a show about a guy who has four wives, for Christ's sake. Do you really think that bothers me? It's not for me, but it doesn't bother me.
Ugh, I need the new episodes of that.
Noted.
By the way, just for the sake of that, don't you hate the new intro? I hate it.
I haven't seen anything past season 10 because I can't get it anywhere.
Oh, okay. Well, when you see the newer episodes, I hate the way that they did the new opening because it looks more like you're about to watch a documentary about really bad polygamists. And I hate it. I miss the whole thing where he says love should be multiplied, not divided. They took it out and made it this creepy, like...
Gross.
Yeah, it's
now
bad.
Now I've got to go figure out a way to watch it. I need to know what happened.
It's so bad. Yeah.
Anyway, the dead of time. That had earned Sirius an awkward silent treatment from Remus and a black eye from James, who was then informed that Sirius could never sleep with James and Lily, but only because Lily was more like a sister to him. Sirius was uncomfortably honest when properly pissed. Shaking Sirius's drunken confessions from his mind, Remus said,
"Not only that, but if he were sleeping with a girl, he'd be bragging about it. Hell, it had been less than a week after sleeping with you that he told me."
"He bragged about me?" Maya snapped.
Remus searched for the correct wording, hoping to calm her down.
"Less bragged and more confessed? He might have wanted my forgiveness or something, even though it was completely unnecessary at the time. I think he was already trying to get us back together and didn't want there to be any secrets."
Maya nervously bit her lip. "I don't want your friendship with him ruined over this." Remus raked his hands back through his hair and sighed.
"He's one of my best friends, and I don't take that lightly. Not only that, but you're both pack, and that means more to me than anything. Family."
He frowned, watching as she stifled a sob. They had all lost too much family over the summer. They needed one another, especially Remus, who had no family left to return to.
"I'm just having trouble trying to figure out if what I'm currently feeling is how I actually feel, or how I think I'm supposed to feel."
"How do you think you should feel?" she asked.
I'm supposed to feel pissed off that my girlfriend moaned another wizard's name in her sleep. Then again, I suppose it could be worse. You could have said Sirius's name while we were having sex."
He smirked until he realized something, and a disappointed frown fell across his face.
"Oh...
no more sex." Remus grumbled under his breath. Friends with benefits had worked well the first time around, but that was before Sirius had gotten involved.
"Well, now I'm pissed off for another reason."
Maya laughed a little, which lifted his heart some, but then her smile was gone again, and she wiped the back of her hand against her eye.
"I'm sorry, Remus."
"I know. It's not your fault."
He sighed and pulled her back into his arms.
"We tried, honestly. I'm feeling a little relieved. You know I love you, and I want to give you everything, but you know I can't. You've always been right about the whole mate thing. I've been having nightmares lately that you and I leave Hogwarts and get married, and then my mate shows up at the wedding and Mooney takes over and I end up leaving you, and I don't want that to happen."
"You'll find her," Maya promised. Remus brushed her off.
"We're not talking about that right now. Come on. Let's get to breakfast."
He stood up and pulled her to his feet in one swift motion, pulled her to her feet in one swift motion.
"Before we do anything, though, you need to go and find that letter of intent." He winced at the thought of it. "Bloody hell, why'd I have to do something so public?"
She smiled sweetly at him. "Because you're a romantic at heart."
"I hope you know that you'll not be getting poetry from Sirius,"
Remus stated firmly as they made their way back towards the castle, still hand in hand.
"He might quote you some Sex Pistol lyrics at best. You're going to miss me."
Maya laughed and squeezed his hand. "I won't need to miss you. You're not going anywhere."
"Can you at least tell him I'm better at sex than he is?" Remus pleaded.
Maya laughed again.
"So they're breaking up?"
"Yeah."
"Aw."
"Yeah."
"But Sirius isn't her mate and neither is Remus, so like..."
"No, Sirius is. They have, well, kind of, they have a soul bond. So like, she's always going to be drawn to him."
"What's the difference between a soul bond and a pack bond?"
"Okay, so pack bond is like a family, it's like a gang. So like..."
"But it has to have a werewolf initiate."
"Yeah, so werewolf initiates, and then they all fought together against Greyback, so now they're all pack members, because he was in, like,
beefy werewolf mode, and they drew blood against Greyback, and they all bowed to Remus, making him their alpha, and so they became a pack. Werewolves also have their mate bonds, which means they have a soulmate out there somewhere who will be born at some point coinciding with them, and when they meet that person, they're going to realize that is the love of their life, and nothing is going to keep them from getting married to that person and being with that person. They will do anything they can to have that person. Think Twilight imprinting with the werewolves, very similar. And then soul bonds are, we know we're soulmates, but until we acknowledge the bond and seal the bond, we can be with other people. We will always be happiest together, but if we don't seal that pact or that soul bond, we could technically both marry other people and be okay. A werewolf doesn't have that option. A werewolf has to be with their mate. They can't function without them. Soul bonds are, if we get along and we get married, nothing's ever going to break us apart. But if we don't, if we decide not to get married, then it'll be okay.
Technically, werewolf bonds, they would be okay if they never found their mate.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that, like,
once they meet.
When Maya and Remus first hooked up at Halloween and the remove requirement, how he was like, it just doesn't feel right. It's like I'm scratching, but I'm not quite scratching the spot that itches.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's good, but it's not fully satisfying. Like it would be with your mate where it like fully clicks into place.
It's Izzy's chocolate cupcakes, but it's still missing the coconut. His mate's the coconut.
That was so specific.
It was so specific. And it really pulls from one of the old episodes. But anyway.
I want a chocolate coconut cupcake. Why would you do that? That's so rude.
Write that down. Write that down. The former couple made it through breakfast without any problems. Afterwards, Maya returned to Gryffindor Tower to shower and change, only to look in the mirror and see the sudden reappeared splinching scar across her back. Well, that explains the dream, she thought to herself, immediately worrying about what would happen when her mudblood scar reappeared later that year.
Ooh.
What?
Nothing.
You went, ooh. No, you can't ooh
no,
and say nothing.
I can't tell you, because if we're going to do that, I can't tell you. It probably is nothing, but I'm not going to tell
you. If we're
going to
do what?
You. If we're doing if we're what? What are we doing? Soul scars, I can't tell you. Because I just had a thought, and I was like, wait, I remember that.
I need you to text that to me later. I need you to text that
it's
to me
probably
later.
Probably nothing, and you're getting excited yes, over nothing, but something in me was just like, wait.
No, but I think I know what you're talking about, and I want to know if I'm right.
Okay, now I know what cat feels like. It sucks.
That should be the title of this episode, Claire Feels My Pain.
I was going to cut that whole tangent out, but now it might have to stay.
After James suggested the boys take a flyer on the pitch, all of the seventh-year Gryffindor girls decided to make a day of it as well and followed the wizards outside. It was a bit chilly out, but nothing that their robes or a good warming charm couldn't handle. As the young men took to the sky on their brooms, Remus, Frank, and Peter included, all of the girls sat down on a transfigured blanket and watched. I love Quidditch, Mary said with an interested sigh. I hope you're staring at period.
He is a period.
He is the scourge of womankind. I hope you're staring at Peter or Sirius, because the rest of those wizards are spoken for, Lily said emphatically, as she looked over a parchment in her hand. Maya took a glance and figured out it was the weekly prefect schedule. James had clearly made it, considering the nearly illegible penmanship. Lily began rewriting it in her own hand, likely knowing the prefects would have to be able to read it in order to comply. So you and Potter are official, then? Alice asked with a happy smile. Lily looked up and blushed when the rest of the witches grinned at her. I say it's about time, Maya declared. Mary smirked, poking Lily teasingly in the ribs. I completely agree, but for the record, I was looking at almost all of them. It's like art. Just because I didn't paint it and it doesn't hang in my house doesn't mean I can't enjoy it. Okay, she just really does fit Southern.
Sorry, you said that, and then because it says Maya declared, all I could hear was Michael Scott going, I do declare.
I was thinking, I declare bankruptcy. but I didn't say it. I declared it. Dead of Time, not the Office podcast.
Okay. There is a couple of really excellent Office podcasts out there, in case you're curious.
There are.
Sorry, I can't watch that. Like, I don't understand. It's so bad. I'm sorry.
I literally had to skip the entire first season and most of the second. And the only reason I got into it is because I was literally just watching it an episode at a time. And there were a couple that were so fucking funny that I was like, okay. And then when I finally got through like the good episodes, I still can't watch season one. Like, it physically hurts me because of how bad the jokes are and like how offensive things are.
But I mean, Angela Kinsey and Jenna Fisher, who are Angela and Pam on the show, are real life BFFs, and they're doing a podcast together.
Office ladies.
Yeah. Even they were like, yeah, first season was really cringy.
Oh, it's based like, on the British one.
Rewatching it.
The
yeah.
British one is super offensive. Oh,
well, it's
my
Ricky
God.
Gervais. He's always super offensive.
Yes. And Stephen Merchant was one of the writers on it. And I actually met him in Miami once. I was sitting in an airport and I look across from me and there's a guy and I'm like, I think I saw him do lip sync karaoke on the Jimmy Fallon show. And then he stands up and he's fucking 12 feet tall. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Stephen Merchant. And then I went up to him and I had not watched The Office at this point. And I went, are you who I think you are? And he goes, I would assume so. And I was like, I loved your skit on the Jimmy Fallon show. And he just kind of looked at me and did not realize at the time how fucking offensive that probably was to somebody who created one of the most popular TV sitcoms of all time. But like, that I only knew him from Lip Sync Battle on fucking Jimmy Fallon and not for The Office. So Stephen Merchant, if you ever listen to this, I'm so sorry. Also, it's if you totally ever listen okay. to this, please join us on Patreon.
Yeah, right.
I'll send you a sticker as an apology.
But it's okay. I mean, like, yeah, Ricky Gervais is super offensive, but he does make me laugh sometimes. Like, I will admit that Ricky Gervais is pretty funny.
It took me a while to get into the British Office, but woof. It's
actually
fucking hilarious.
His show on Netflix, Afterlife, where he's a lot, like, calmer, for lack of a better word, it's actually a really good show.
Well, like, isn't he, it's not like him, because half the time if he's in public he's trying to say offensive things because he right. likes the reaction he yeah. gets out of people.
Yes.
And hello, that one last year's Golden Globes.
Oh, which was fucking hilarious.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But like, the whole reason he is that the way he is because he's that kid that enjoys poking at you because he likes the reaction when you get mad. Yes. And so, but as a grown-ass man. And so. Yeah.
But it's made him a lot of money.
But it has. But this show also, doesn't it just like curb that a little bit? It's not, he's not just trying to piss people off. He's actually trying to tell a story. So.
And it's so good. I really liked it. And when I was done, I was like, I need another season. Like, you're killing me, Smalls. But he even, like, makes fun of his girlfriend or life partner, whatever she is. Like, the things that he says about her, I'm like, she must really love you because...
Mary smirked, poking Lily teasingly in the ribs. I completely agree, but just for the record, I was looking at almost all of them. It's like art. Just because I didn't paint it and it doesn't hang in my house doesn't mean I can't enjoy it. Again, perfect Southern. Like, she fits it so well. I'm so glad I made her Southern. It was a great call and definitely not at all an accident.
Not like any of our wizards would stray as it is, Alice pointed out. James has been in love with Lily for years. Frank would never betray me. And Remus is head over heels for Maya. Looking at her friends, Maya sighed. She reached into her school bag, retrieving the letter of intent Remus had sent to James a year earlier, and called up to the flyers. Remus! Get everyone else down here. Maya avoided the looks on each of the faces surrounding her as they eyed the envelope in her hands. Lily, naturally, was the only one who looked curious as opposed to sitting on the edge of her figurative seat. When all of the wizards had landed, Remus nodded knowingly to Maya and made his way over to her, setting his broom down gently on the grass. Sirius and James followed suit, watching with interest, though Sirius looked more nervous than anyone else there at the sight of the letter in Maya's hands. Frank and Peter joined the girls on the grass, eagerly surveying the couple in front of them.
"Miss Maya Potter," Remus began, placing his hands formally behind his back and standing tall. "I have sent you a letter of intent, and have properly courted you for 1 year's time, and I come now seeking your answer to my intentions."
Lily gasped and covered her mouth. Mary and Alice clutched hands tightly. I thought they were going to say clutch their pearls. Everyone was ignoring the paling faces of James and Sirius, who were staring in anticipation at Maya and Remus. "Thank you, Mr. Lupin, for your letter. I have an answer to your intentions. Here, before the representative of House Potter and my mother's family, House Black," Maya said, gesturing to James and Sirius, "I give you my answer." She gave him a sad little smile, and Remus nodded, smiling back at her. "No."
"No."
Did I stutter? "No."
"What?"
We broke cat.
"Keep reading, it answers the question."
"It's all right, love," Remus whispered, chastely brushing his lips against her cheek before tucking a lock of hair behind her ear. "Go ahead."
"Incendio." The envelope in her hand burst into flames.
"No!"
Alice and Lily shrieked, reaching their hands out as though they could take the burning letter away from Maya and stomp out the fire.
"Maya, you can't take that back!" Mary screamed.
Maya smiled at her friends. "I know. Remus and I discussed it all this morning, and we're ending our courtship. Ending our romantic relationship," she added, slowly taking in a deep breath before she took Remus's hands. "But not our friendship."
"But what happened?"
Lily questioned, frowning. "You're perfect together."
"Almost," Remus smiled. "Almost perfect, but not quite."
James walked over the blanket, stepping in between Maya and Remus to put his hands on her shoulders. His stern expression told her he was not looking for any hint of resentment between the two, or that he was looking for any hint of resentment between the two, likely trying to figure out if he needed to console his friend or defend his sister.
"You're happy with this?"
"It was the right thing to do, Jamie. We got back together to figure things out, make choices, and now we've made them," Maya insisted. She looked over her brother's shoulders, where she made eye contact with Pale Gray as Sirius stared at her, mouth open, looking mildly panicked. Maya opened her mouth before she even had any idea of what she might say to him, but her words never left as someone else intruded on the moment. "Hey there, Black." Everyone turned to see Alora Zabini walking over to them, wearing expensive-looking green and black robes. The Slytherin ignored everyone, save for Sirius, who winced at the very sight of her. "You're looking good this year. Summer treats you well." Sirius scowled at her, nothing but loathing in his eyes.
"Treated me like shit, actually."
"Shame. Want to ditch these?" Alora trailed off, looking down her nose in distaste at the gathered Gryffindors. "People, and take a walk with me?"
"No, just like every other time you've asked. And I'll thank you to stop telling the Ravenclaws that you shagged me. I wouldn't be caught dead with my cock in a snake. All that venom would make it rot off."
Okay, that's kind of savage. Like, anyway.
Alora laughed, unfazed by his insult.
Oh, sweetie, I'll do and say whatever I like. He's a beanie, Maya said, her own venom coursing like fire through her veins as she glared at the Slytherin witch. Without another thought, she reached into the pocket of her robes, fishing around until she felt metal against the tips of her fingers. Can you swim? Allura glared at Maya as though she were an idiot. Of course I can, you stupid little blood traitor. Good. Catch. Maya tossed a shiny sickle towards Allura. Instinctively, Allura caught the coin and then looked up at Maya, confused, before a bright blue light encompassed her and vanished her away with a startled scream. Everyone stared at Maya with wide, terrified eyes. What the fuck? Sirius shouted. Remember that portkey modification I was making? Maya asked, conversationally, as though she hadn't just vanished a girl. I figured out how to do it. James took in a deep breath, moving to Lily's sides to rub her shoulders as she began hyperventilating, ignoring the fact that you basically just attacked another student in front of the head boy and girl and another prefect. Again, he said, looking concerned and exasperated, which Maya felt was just a smidge hypocritical of him. You linked the portkey to... I'm calling it a teleport key, Maya announced with a bright smile, earning her a laugh from Sirius, who was clearly the least worried out of the group. James frowned, pinching the bridge of his nose. Fine. The teleport key has a twin, doesn't it? That's the whole point, right? So where'd you put the other one? Pretending that she'd only just then understood his meaning, Maya's mouth fell open and she nodded, smiling as innocently as possible when she told him, I fed it to the giant squid.
Say what now? So Zambini is going to get eaten by a giant squid.
Technically, she's going to portkey directly into its stomach. She's not going to get chewed.
So that's why she asked if you can swim, because you're going to be in stomach juices.
Well, actually, I don't think she actually put it in the squid. I think it just ends up in like the great in the Black Lake or something. But yes, the idea was, can you swim? And the threat is that the other half of the teleport key is actually... Oh my god, I have the hiccup burps. The other half of the teleport key is inside the giant squid, so that if she throws one at you and you get hit with it and it zaps you, you end up like Jonah, but in a squid.
Wow. Maya's other half is savage.
Yes. Yes, she is. And that brings us not only to the end of this chapter, but also to a very exciting announcement that through our store at Tee Public, we are releasing new merch. Woohoo!
I finally get to see the Can You Swim logo.
You
can I send
do.
This to her right now? I want her reaction live on recording.
Yeah, yeah, send her the picture because it is... Claire Green designed this, I think, somewhere in season 3, like early season 3, maybe even late season 2, and sent it to me. And I was like, that is fucking beautiful. I cannot wait to put it on merchandise. We can't show it to Kat until she understands the reference, because it does have the squid on it. But Claire has been very, very, very busy over in Australia when she is not taking care of...
Ooh, that looks cool beans.
Right? Isn't it pretty?
I like that.
And I want a pin with that, which we are going to sell. Huzzah! When Claire is not working on the farm, she is working her ass off designing badass logos for us to put on new merch to include Can You Swim? She also made a new Quidditch design for the infamous Sirius line, Only Bitches Don't Play Quidditch, when he's trying to recruit people from season 4, I believe. So Only Bitches Don't Play. It doesn't include the word Quidditch. It does involve the balls and the hoops, but those are not trademarked. So we did our homework this time and made sure that we had something that we could provide for you that is both great and very clearly Harry Potter, but does not violate the Warner Brothers trademarks. And we also have Kat's favorite, Learn Occlumency.
Yeah.
So all of those will be going live today, April 9th. It is a big day for us in terms of merchandising. We've got shorts, we've got pins, we got stickers, we got magnets, and we've got What's that? Cross centuries? I don't know what the fuck this accent is, but I'm going to keep doing it. Hannah Beth hates it. I see it on her face. So I'm just going to keep going. I'm kidding. I'm done because it was just really hard to do because I don't know what exactly.
A ticket scalper or something. Like in New York. Like an
old-timey, like, yeah. Old, it's one of those accents that just doesn't
sound like a bad Broadway character.
Yeah, there it is. It's wabbit season. It's kind of where it was. But it's just a whole lot of fuck up. Annabeth just like make it stop. But anyway. New merchandise. That's the issue. My nose is all stuffy. So when I try to say merchandise, it comes out merchandise. That's what the problem is.
Merchandise.
What Kat said on TeePublic. And we also will be providing you that code. Again, that is Suds and Slytherins for 15% off Starcross Sundries. Big day, guys.
And to remind you all, I have a P.O. box, so if you all want to send me stuff, feel free.
Yes, so instead of waiting for 15 years for me to remember to go to the post office to forward things to Kat, if you would like to send Kat mail, you can send it directly to her. It's very exciting. We both have our own P.O. boxes, and that is a big part due to our wonderful, wonderful Patreons. All right, guys, it is a brand new month. It is brand new Patreons. So we are going to get started with our wolves, dogs, and stags. We would like to thank Professor Spells, Kay Villanueva, Rachel, Joe, and The Book Rewind. Thank you so much. If you haven't listened to The Book Rewind, please give them a listen because we actually featured on them for the final few episodes of Prisoner of Azkaban. And now it's time to thank our foxes. We would like to thank Tyler Maria, Muggle Trucker, Rachel, Camille, Rebecca, Jackie, Becky, Leanne, Michelle, Carissa, Sandra, Ryland, Ryder, Cassie, Amber, Olivia, Crystal, Chelsea, Laura, Amanda, Ash, Sylvia, Heather, Connie, Sarah, Amara, Emma, Paige, Claire, Roshan, Audrey, Martina, Melissa, Amanda, Jillian, Lynn, Sarah, Hannah, Nevi, Shannon, Tori, Dan, Shelby, Sarah, Kara, Samantha, Kenny, Miriam, Michelle, Frau Hall, Kara, Jenny. Thank you again so much, all of you. We appreciate you joining us. If you do want to reach out to us via snail mail, we will have our address in the show notes. We will also be putting it on our website, which it probably should have been there a while ago, but that's okay. So, as always, it is a pleasure being here with you, and we will see you next.
Fire Whiskey Friday.
Whatcha!
Thank you for listening to another episode of Fire, Whiskey, and Honey.
A special thank you to Shyalani for allowing us to read your story.
And thank you to Blue Ivy Creations for creating our logo and Hannah Beth for editing our episodes.
You can find us on Instagram at FWHpod.
And on Twitter at FWHpodcast.
And on our website, FWHpod.com.
If you enjoy this podcast and would like to support and get extra content, please support us on Patreon and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you to those who support us already. We wouldn't be here without you.
See you next Fire Whiskey Friday.